Good morning, Seamus. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome, Seamus. Now, as I said to you before we started, I said local businessman, but the keen-eared amongst our listeners will hear that that's not an Irish accent. How did you find yourself in Ireland?
Yeah, well, I moved actually in 2004, and I was originally born and raised in Northern California, a little town named Chico. It was just north of Sacramento for people who know the area. And I had come out here after initially meeting a lovely girl named Catherine, who I later married, and two kids later were happily settled in. And I had had a long history of visiting Ireland, as both my parents had been born and raised in Dublin. So actually it was a kind of reverse immigration story, if you call it that. And out of five kids who were born in Northern California, three of them ended up back in Ireland in one form or another. And we've got quite a spread now across the globe. So yeah, but we really love it here,
and we love having you. It's, you're living up in Clare Hall, so that's how I know you well. We've anybody who has heard me talking, I'm the Residents Association in Clare Hall, and Seamus is kind of a tech whiz. So Seamus, you're here, you're walking away, you're settled down, and when you came here first. Your brother, I met your brother first, Neil, and he was working in the Hilton Hotel up in Northern Cross.
That's right, yeah.
So both you and your brother ended up here completely by accident, coincidentally, has ended up in the exact same place.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it was kind of a natural thing, I suppose. It seemed at the time there wasn't a plan set out, but I had been here a year, and I had gotten, these were the boom times, and I'd gotten a great job with a great company up in Ashburn and worked 6 years there. But a year into it, Neil had decided to come out. And naturally, you know, the first thing you do is you look at family and maybe, sleep on the sofa or something. Next thing you know, he's here quite a while and he's been working. And naturally, the first place he was hired was actually that Hilton there across the road, which was brilliant. And then he moved on to other jobs and things and obviously stayed in Dublin the whole time. And I don't think it had been his plan initially to move and live and stay in Ireland. And yet here he is and no plans to leave now. You know, it just kind of sucks you in, as he says, and he's enjoyed it as well. So
you're both here happy enough. You're doing okay, but just think we could do better here. So the minds got together and you set off on your own path. And when did you start off?
Yeah, we got the idea to form a company, and initially it was over something else. It was over a product idea that we had between myself and my brother and one other partner. And we'd had this idea that related to the Hilton industry and related to web services that we could bring. And we initially developed that for about a year as we were doing other work and such. It was kind of a part-time thing that we were developing. We were both developing the product itself as well as developing kind of a business out of it. But we brought that to the highest boardroom of Hilton available in California. And at the end of the day, they said, gosh, it's a great product, lads. It's better than the one we have in-house, but our priorities are elsewhere. And so we're like, well, do we really want to develop a product that for one works. Company or yeah. one tiny industry and be told no in the end? Or do we want to kind of, look at what's out there and what makes sense? And at the time, we had people knocking on the door saying, look, we need a website developed or whatever. And they knew that we kind of understood that technology. We've been doing web development for our own companies that we'd worked for and such. So we kind of said to ourselves, look, at the end of the day, people are looking for web development and there's a lot of, everybody needs it. So let's start in on that. And at that time as well, you had great technologies that were really proving themselves at that point. Things for web development that allowed both web developers to do great things with websites, but also allow then the person who owns the website to be able to manage that content easily. Things like WordPress, open source software, which was brilliant for originally blogging and now websites and even more.
Yeah. And of course, there you were with this great idea and this great business plan and found yourselves in the midst of depression.
Yes, yeah.
So it probably was a difficult start, was it?
We started we formally incorporated at the end of 2008. It was 2009, my brother had started full-time in the business, so literally made the decision, I'm going to walk away from my comfortable job with good pay and I'm going to actually make this happen, knowing that you're never going to really be forced to prove it until you have to eat off those wages and actually have to prove it. So in 2009, he started full-time. I started full-time in 2010, and we just built it very organically. We had literally zero investment, and it was just a matter of make the sales, make the websites, and we very much from that early point onward had the feeling like, look, we've got to build every website for what we want the next sale to be.
Yeah.
Because we knew we were starting out small with no contacts of any sort and with a lot to learn. Like,
yeah.
We didn't realize how much we had to learn because we had never run a business like this. We had never even been in a business that provided these kind of services. We had come from other walks of life. We'd come like doing IT, sure, doing web development, sure, but not in an actual business that did that. So we had an awful lot to learn, and we slowly grew it organically over time. Our reputation was all we had to go on in referrals, and we still to this day rely heavily on that. And so we just built it up and built it up and went hopefully from strength to strength. So
yeah. And it's web design, obviously. Before we go on to your recent success, if anybody wanted to see our work, who would have been? So I know the Clare Hall Residents Association, you built their web page, wasn't a great job, you didn't. But are there any others kind of that people would know, say, would they go onto a website and go, oh.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I suppose Brian S. Ryan would be a big name that we would have worked with recently.
And Office Supplies.
Office Supplies, yeah. They are they're a brilliant company to work with, and they are a company who has, you know, 30,000 products on their website. Mm-hmm. And originally, when they came to us needing services, they already had a great branding done, I believe, by Creative Digital or Dark Creative. They had basically a wonderful website, but it was also there was a separate website for their online store. 30,000 products, lots of tools on it, but it was two websites. And so the branding was slightly different. The experience wasn't integrated for the customer. And what they needed to do is they needed to have the flexibility to be able to do any kind of search engine optimization they wished, which helps with their Google rankings, and to be able to do anything they wanted from a customer experience point of view. And so what we did was we took their existing branding and we rebuilt from scratch their existing website and a 30,000 product store into one large website.
Yeah.
That's certainly the extreme example of e-commerce, but it was built with a really integrated approach. And we were able to bring new features that they needed. Like, they might have had, let's say, a couple of big customers who said, look, I need things to work a certain way because of the way because of the size of our business and such. And so we were able to bring those kind of services to them as well.
Excellent. Google rank. What's a Google ranking?
Yeah, so you type in your search query, and I hope you keep policing me on like things like industry terms. Our favorite industry terms are inevitably what we call TLAs, three-letter acronyms. Yeah. So we're brutal. A lot of times we don't even know we're saying them. But yeah, Google ranking. When you type in your Google search, you know what comes up first, second, and third. And a Google ranking, people don't often think about it when they're, let's say, a small business and they say, I want to be number one in Google. What we have to always remember is that Google is not necessarily concerned about the business wanting to be number one.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be there. What Google cares about is for the person searching, whether it be on the desktop, by mobile, on a map, that the most relevant results for what that user is looking for turns up at the top. And so what we try to do then when it comes to helping a person with Google rankings is to say, look, we need Google and the user to understand exactly what it is that this website is about, and very specifically this page. What is this page about? And so it's not just about a user turning up and reading an image, for example. It's about search engines understanding the content of that page and understanding the reputation of that website. So obviously Google wants to give both the most relevant results, but they also say, look, a website with more reputation because of links that they have from other websites or the time that they've been building up this reputation, this all helps with their Google rankings. And there are tons of top secret calculations that are done by Google, only a small fraction of which we're directly familiar with. And what they do is they just try to give the most honest results. And so what they don't want is they don't want tricks. They just want good content.
Now, every time you Google something, you might Google, as you say, Office Supplies, and you'll get 10 pages, but it's about the ones that come up first.
That's right.
The first page.
And Google tries to train the users too. It's not just about the web developers and the web owners, the website owners. The user needs to be trained on how to search better too. And Google, you'll notice, does that. So when you actually start typing in a search term in Google, they start suggesting additional search terms.
Yeah.
And this is what they call the long tail search, is that instead of one or two words, which can be vague and mean different things at different times, if you put in three, four, five words into that Google search or mention an area as well, well, then they can be more precise about what you're probably looking for. And obviously, it's a guessing game at the end of the day, but they're very, very good at it.
Yeah, that's, well, I suppose that's the business they're in. So, anyway, you're tipping along. You're doing all right, keeping your head above water and, you know, learning as you go. And you come into work one day and you've... A phone call initially.
Well, we got a phone call from a gentleman, and he said initially he had a couple of questions, but he said, I asked, you know, sorry, who are you calling from? And he said he was calling from RTE. And naturally, I wondered if he'd misdialed, but but actually, he had found us on Google, so we did the first thing right. We got found, and they were investigating something. Now, at the time, it was all hush hush because they have to do this planning quite a long time in advance of even rights being assigned sometimes. So they had to be quite cagey about it initially. But what they were looking for was to be able to build something brand new for both RTE and for the GAA, which was this ability to stream GAA matches to anyone outside of Ireland and over the internet. And they had a few things they were looking for. And so they had a quick discussion with us over the phone, and they ultimately qualified us as one of the people who could tender for this. And we were tickled to find that we were selected as the team to build the new GAA Go website, which is now live and running. Yeah. And is into its, I think it's just finished its fourth weekend now of the live streaming. And that has been a great website to work on. It's something that was absolutely fitted for what we do.
Yeah.
And we were really pleased to be able to build it with them.
You were telling me a few weeks ago, as you say, a lot of it was hush-hush for a long time. And you were telling me that when you were asked to tender as part of your learning process, it was the first time you had been asked to tender. And it was, again, as you say, a learning curve, and you did the best you could, put it all out there, and it came back well.
Absolutely, yeah. And well, you know, tendering is a funny thing because the public tendering is a great process, and at the same time, it's a very costly process for small businesses. So what we do is we, you know, normally a larger business would have people, or let's say a person who was, their only job is to worry about filling out tender requests. They are they're an expensive process from the point of view of the time they take to develop those things. And then there's only, you know, a relatively small chance of actually winning a tender. You have to put together a good package. You have to know how to do that. So it's something that in this case, we had the first advantage was because it was a private tender, because they couldn't release the public details about this site. There were fewer people involved, which was great. And it was right down our alley. We could show how we had done all the things they needed in the past, and that we were the right team for it. So we were quite pleased to put the time in and to say, look, this is worth our time in every way. And if nothing else, it's a great learning experience. And we were pleased, you know, meeting the team there and such. They were great guys, got along very well with them. And we found that I think they liked the proposal we put together, that we paid close attention to important aspects of it, such as the redundancy and such. Redundancy meaning to keep things from dropping down. For example, you can imagine you've got people all over the world wanting to view a GAA match live, and the last thing you want is for a website to be slow or unresponsive or to shut down because of tons of use. And we had a lot of different companies to work with as well in the process, so we wanted to make sure we built something that was going to be really resilient, and so far it's been proven to be just that.
Yeah, I've had a look at it a couple of times, anybody now the last few weeks has seen anything and they'll see the advertisements and all for the GAA Go. And as you say, how it works is it basically gives the Irish diaspora around the world the opportunity to watch GAA live. It's a subscription service.
That's right. You can buy per fixture or you can buy a season pass. And they're reasonably priced, considering there's an awful lot of work and effort goes on behind the scenes to make these things happen. And what's nice about it is both the diaspora who are abroad, be it, I've seen tweets from guys who were abroad for 40 years and said it's like Christmas, seeing the GAA matches right live in their living room in Canada or America and such. And you can buy a single fixture, you can buy a season pass and get all the fixtures, including the past ones you might have missed or you want to see a great game again. So if you want to follow, you know, how a particular team has done throughout the whole, you know, you want to follow Dublin throughout the whole thing, you can go back and watch all of those matches again. So they're recorded as well as live. And it's not available in Ireland because it's available in Taun TV in Ireland, but you can buy it in Ireland. And the reason behind that is that you may want to, first of all, gift it, for example, to sons or daughters abroad, or you may want to buy it. We've heard a lot of people who are going like, I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to use it while I'm holidaying this year. So instead of trying to source a pub and find out it's closed at the wrong time abroad, we can actually just watch it online.
I recommend anybody to have a look. I know, as you say, we can't access the games here in Ireland, but just to look at the webpage, it's really what's the word? It's modern. It's up to date. It's real. It's really, really well done. We've looked at you were showing me some of the features before, and it really is. And the idea, as you say, that you know people can gift it to their family or like it really is.
And there's a couple of innovative features in it. For example, you have a couple of things that aren't typical in a website. First of all, it's responsive. So that means that it can adjust to any screen size that's required. So it works on an iPad, an iPhone, a full desktop computer. And that's a really nice feature of it. But the other thing that's nice is that one of the really innovative things, and this was a design built out of RT's original concepts that then we brought to life in the web development process, was the idea of buying something and accessing your purchase immediately, but also without a login. So normally in an e-commerce site, you've got to give address details and you've got to log in with a password and all this stuff. On this website, you put in an email address, you put in your credit card details for your purchase, and you buy, and you're done. You want to come back to a stream, you can either take a link that we've emailed you after that purchase, click on it, and you're back to your stream, or you can actually take a code we've given you. So even if you don't have access to your email, you can still access your purchase, and no login is required. But it also does some pretty fantastic things in the background, like when you log in, or if you will log in by using your code or your link, it will also see all the other purchases you've done. So if you bought two or three games, it will know all of them, no matter which one you access it from. And so it gives you all the sense of a very intuitive experience where it goes on, it recognizes you, it delivers your content, but it doesn't require all the things we're used to requiring. And by not storing addresses and such, it's not about, you know, worrying about privacy of your data and things. It's just about accessing your content and being as clean and fast and easy as possible.
Very user friendly.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, Seamus, listen, thanks. Just for anyone who's listening and you want to get in touch, the name of your company.
Thank
and
you.
Your contact details.
It's Freeman Contingent. If you Google us, Freeman Contingent Web Development, or you can go to freemancontingent.ie, or our Twitter is Freeman Websites. And we'd love to hear from people who want to talk about web development, e-commerce, website builds, or even CRM and training and things like that.
That's brilliant, Seamus. Listen, it's great to hear success stories, you know, especially, you know, the current economic climate, and you know, yourself and your brother just taking a punt, having a go, and you've been very successful now, and hopefully this will go from strength to strength. Listen, Seamus, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mark.